It's Monday, February 9th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast. We've got some great audio for today's show. Joining us from my hometown here in Portland, Oregon, the executive director of Oregon Normal, Madeline Martinez, is here for our Pot and Politics segment, talking about the bills that are attacking workplace rights for medical marijuana patients in my great state of Oregon. Also, in our second interview segment, we're going to play another interview with Paul Armentano, this one from Air America Radio, the Richard Green Show, that just aired last week. In our musical break, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we've got The Individuals, big friends of the Daily Audio Stash. And before we get to our hemp headlines, just a couple of things I wanted to mention. Tomorrow there is a hearing in Washington State. This hearing is regarding Senate Bill 5615 in Washington State at the State House there in Olympia, Senate Hearing Room 1 at 10 a.m. This is the bill that would decriminalize possession of marijuana in the state of Washington, making it a civil fine of no more than $100, very similar to Massachusetts Question 2 that passed with 65% of the vote in the 2008 election. If you want more information on this, check out www.aclu-wa.org. Also, California Normal Coordinator Dale Gehringer mentions a unhappy anniversary we're celebrating today on February 9th, 2009, the 100-year anniversary of the first American drug prohibition. That's right, February 9th, 1909, Congress passed the Opium Exclusion Act, which barred the importation of opium for smoking as of April 1st, 1909. And before that, you have to understand that Americans were free to buy just about any drug they wanted, opium, cocaine, and cannabis, at their pharmacies. And there was no drug-related crime, and drug use was not really a major public concern. Of course, the ban on opium came about because of racism. It had to do with the white women getting high in the Chinese opium dens. You know, a lot of this drug war, as we look through its 100-year history, is rooted in racism. The cocaine being banned because the Negroes would get superhuman strength, or, of course, the reefers, the marijuana, the Mexican slang term, used to denigrate the people who were coming to get our jobs. It's all a tool of control and oppression. It has very little to do with the drugs themselves. And nothing illustrates that more than this continuing saga over Michael Phelps and his bong photo. Of course, we're spearheading the attack, the Boycott Kellogg's campaign. Check us out at boycottkelloggs.net or boycottkelloggs.org. Included in part of the boycott here is a list of all of the Kellogg's products, some 70-odd products that they make, many of them favorites to the cannabis community, as well as my request for you to send in your pictures of your disappointment with Kellogg's or Michael Phelps. Some people have sent in pictures of cornflakes boxes in the toilet or the trash. One guy sent in a photo of him burning Tony the Tiger in effigy. So it's kind of fun. You registered stashers out there can upload your photos. Those of you who aren't registered, just send them to me by email at stash@normal.org. We've got more of that Michael Phelps news coming up in our hemp headlines. All right, folks, pack a fresh bowl and get some cold water in the bubbler. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Going to pot, weed and testicular cancer, from ABC News. Internet photos of swimming phenomenon Michael Phelps, age 23, possibly indulging in an Olympian lungful of marijuana smoke, scandalized many and may have caused him to lose face and the faith of some of his fans, not to mention a lucrative sponsorship from Kellogg. But according to new research, if Phelps makes a habit of smoking up, he could stand to lose much more than a fan base. For the first time, researchers have linked frequent marijuana use to an increased risk of testicular cancer, according to an article published today in the journal Cancer. Janet Dayling, the senior author of the article and an epidemiologist and member of the Public Health Sciences Division at Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, said, quote, "There's been very little research done on marijuana use and its association with cancer risk. This is the first time this association has been shown." Also reporting on the study of cannabis and testicular cancer risk is CNN, with their headline, "Could Smoking Pot Raise Testicular Cancer Risk?" Testicular cancer is relatively rare. A man's lifetime chance of developing the disease is about 1 in 300, and dying of it is about 1 in 5,000. Frequent or long-term marijuana smokers could have about double the risk of non-users, according to the report in the February 9th issue of the journal Cancer. In the study, a team led by Dr. Janet R. Dayling of the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, Washington, interviewed 369 men between the ages of 18 and 44 from the Seattle-Puget Sound area whose testicular cancer had been diagnosed. They compared those men with 979 men who lived in the same area but did not have cancer. Overall, 26% of the testicular cancer patients were pot smokers, 15% who used daily or weekly at the time of diagnosis, compared with 20% of men without cancer, 10% who used daily or weekly. Marijuana users had 2.3 times the risk of a type of testicular cancer known as non-seminoma as those who were not. Testicular cancer is divided into two types: pure seminomas, 60% of cases, and non-seminomas, 40% of cases. The link was much weaker in men with seminomas. Okay, first problem that I've got with these reports isn't that there might be a risk between marijuana and testicular cancer. As cannabis activists, we always have to strive for accepting the realities of science. We want the science to come out, and if there is such a risk, we need to know about it. my problem has to do with the way that it's reported in the mainstream media. I mean, I don't mean to be paranoid or anything, but when a study comes out like this, we see so much of the media reporting on it in phrasing it in a way that makes it sound worse than it is. For example, in the ABC News story, they talk about there being a 70% increased risk of testicular cancer. In the CNN story, they talk about 2.3 times the risk. What they don't really emphasize very strongly is how rare testicular cancer is among men, with only 6 to 7 out of 100,000 men ever getting testicular cancer. If the rates go up by 70%, well, then we're talking about maybe, you know, 10 or 11 men getting testicular cancer out of 100,000. So the way you phrase the statistic can make all the difference in the world when you're trying to alarm people with a marijuana headline. The other problem I've got is, if you'll notice the health section of just any news aggregate, like I use news.google.com, as of this recording, I came up with 181 different news articles that basically amplified this idea that frequent smoking of marijuana would cause testicular cancer. Meanwhile, there's another study that's come out just this same week in the American Journal of Transplantation that says, quote, patients who tested positive for marijuana prior to liver transplant have survival similar to patients who did not, end quote. Now, I know that's not as sexy a story as impending testicular doom for stoners, but it is a relevant story considering that the news media did cover the story of Tim Guerin being rejected for a life-saving liver transplant due to his medical marijuana usage. But when I go to news.google.com looking for stories on marijuana liver transplant, I don't get 181 hits. I even tried just transplant, looking for any mention, even obliquely, that would cover this story, this research that's in another reputable journal. Not even 18 hits, not even one hit comes up on my news search. So once again, we see a bad news conjecture about marijuana generating 181 stories, but a good news fact about marijuana gets zero stories. Am I paranoid? Kellogg's still okay, making $4.99 per Phelps poster until September 30th, 2009. Now, you know, we've been following the Michael Phelps story last week and again probably this week on The Stash, and plenty of news stories on it and opinion pieces being written. Check out the blog at stash.normal.org for the various opinions that have come in recently. This is something that I wanted to break as a news story, though, and that is that maybe Kellogg's didn't get their message down to their IT and promotions department to scrub their website of a Michael Phelps poster promotion. As of today, February 9th, 2009, there is still this promotion on the Kellogg's website where you can win a free poster of Michael Phelps. According to the form, it's an 82-inch by 72-inch landscape poster, which you can receive by doing three things, completing an official order form, turning in three gold tokens or one gold token plus $4.99 from a specially marked package of Kellogg's Corn Flakes, and another $4.99 check or money order for each poster that you order, make payable to Kellogg's Michael Phelps poster offer. Offer available until September 30th, 2009, or while supplies last. So if I'm reading this promotion correctly, I can fill out a form, give them $10 and proof that I bought a box of cornflakes, or $5 and 3 boxes of cornflakes, and I get a poster that's 6 foot 10 inches wide by 1.5 feet tall. Where am I supposed to hang that up? So let's see. Either way you do that, you're spending about $11 or $12 to get this Michael Phelps poster. So it doesn't look like Kellogg's is really that upset about his marijuana smoking. At least not upset enough to stop making money on a poster. Drug war burn grants eliminated from Obama stimulus package. From CNN. A coalition of Democrats and some Republicans reached a compromise that trimmed billions in spending from an earlier version of the Senate economic stimulus bill. Senators worked late into the night to trim billions from the original stimulus bill, and CNN obtained, from a Democratic leadership aide, a list of some programs that have been cut either entirely or partially, including $300 million for federal prisons, $300 million for Burn Formula Grant Program, and $140 million for Burn Competitive Grant Program. What are these Burn grants and why do they matter to us? Radley Balco explains it quite well at The Agitator. Burn grants are often tied directly to drug arrests, warping police department priorities by encouraging low-level drug busts to juke up department arrest statistics so they can apply for more grants. We have burn grants to thank for the civil rights disasters in Tulia and Hearne, Texas, and for the continuing problem of out-of-control multi-jurisdictional drug task forces. It's the economy, stupid. They just can't afford the luxury of playing drug war like the old days. Add that to how the public will react to other cuts, like $200 million cut from EPA Superfund, $98 million cut from school nutrition, and $2 billion cut from broadband. We can't afford to borrow to spend money on protecting the environment, feeding kids school lunches, or spreading broadband across the country. So how eager will the public then be to see money being prioritized on flying helicopters to eradicate marijuana plants? This weekend's funniest take on the Michael Phelps Kellogg's controversy has got to be from Seth Meyers on the Weekend Update segment of Saturday Night Live.
On Thursday, Kellogg's announced that it was dropping its Frosted Flakes endorsement with Michael Phelps, saying his marijuana use is not consistent with the company's image, which brings me to a segment I like to call Really with Seth. Really, Kellogg? Marijuana is not consistent with your image? Because I thought it was totally consistent. You know every one of your mascots is a wild-eyed cartoon character with uncontrollable munchies. I mean, really, Toucan Sam, a frog named Diggum, Snap, Crackle, and Pop. I knew some guys named Snap, Crackle, and Pop, and they were drug dealers. And you also have the Keebler Elves, a bunch of guys who live together in a treehouse and do nothing all day but think of new things to put cheese on. I mean, really, they're stoners. And also, I checked out your website. Did you know you have a recipe for dessert nachos? And that you make cookie straws to drink the leftover milk out of the waffle cereal you also make? Every one of your products sounds like a wish a genie granted at a fish concert. I mean, really. And USA Swimming, really? You suspended Phelps for 3 months? Really, USA Swimming? Way to sacrifice. Now we won't be able to compete for you in the highly anticipated not the Olympic swimming race. And really, if you want someone to stop smoking weed, don't give them 3 months off. That's what you do if you want someone to finish Call of Duty. I mean, really. Oh, and parents, if your kid says Michael Phelps smokes pot, why can't I? Just say you can, right after you win 12 gold medals for your country. Really. And really, and this is the most important thing. Party and you see Michael Phelps smoking a bong and your first thought isn't, wow, I get to party with Michael Phelps, and instead you take a picture and sell it to a tabloid, you should take a long look in the mirror because you're a dick. I mean, really.
This has been Really with Seth.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the largest grassroots drug law reform organization in America. So every Monday we visit with the activists in drug law reform who are fighting for our freedom. Freedom, the freedom. I'm freedom to an Get motivated to get it regulated. Join us in some political activism today. You can start by visiting norml.org. Well, the legislatures are in session all across the country, and some states are different than others. Some states have a legislature that only meets every other year, which means they have 2 years to think of incredibly bad ideas and try to get them passed. One such state is my home state of Oregon, and joining us now to discuss the bills that affect the cannabis community in the state of Oregon is the executive director of Oregon Normal and a member of Normal's board of directors, Madeline Martinez. Madeline, welcome back to the show.
Russ, I love being on your show. It's always so informative.
It's always good to keep the people informed at the local level as to what's going on. And the big thing happening in Oregon is this assault on medical marijuana patients' workplace rights. Let our listeners know a little bit about the background and what's going on here.
Well, you know, every legislative session since the beginning of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program, we've been up against the business end of the legislators that support big business, namely Associated Oregon Industries, and they want to treat us like criminals and don't look at us as patients. That's the bottom line. So they continue to want to discriminate against employees that are registered with the program and use medical marijuana to manage their pain.
Now, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act specifically says in, like, its opening sections that marijuana should be treated as other medicines. What's the issue of contention with the business community here?
You know, this is my perspective. They continue to look for a problem where none exists. We have no safety violations. They continue to say they want a safe workplace. And we would never suggest or encourage anyone to use any medicine on the job. You know, I even get concerned when people use these over-the-counter nasal decongestants and that, because they can make you groggy. But that seems to be their big problem, that they feel that we are impaired because we have used the medicine the evening before off the premises. But they seem to want to violate our privacy by saying if you have it in your system, if you have metabolites, that is not acceptable.
Okay, so let's get down to the nuts and bolts politics of it. What are the bills, and who are sponsoring them, and what are they trying to do?
Well, we've got one that's come out of from Representative Mike Schaffler, and he's the gentleman who also in the last session of the special session came at us with the same type of discriminatory language that would, let me just read this to you, expands the ability of employer to prohibit use of medical marijuana in the workplace. One would think that that meant that you would be walking around smoking at your workplace. Well, no, that's not what it means. What it means is if you have it in your system, you cannot work there. And it's a real shame when we find out that other people, and I don't begrudge anyone work, but they're on morphine. I don't consider that a safe workplace or drug-free.
And when we're talking about having it in your system, this isn't about having actual THC, the impairing chemicals in your system. This is metabolites.
Metabolites, exactly. And it's ridiculous, because what we need here is a real impairment test, one that tells you if someone is on Vicodin, perhaps, or if someone's just tired, because that seems to be the largest cause of accidents, is people doing things when they're extremely exhausted, tired, not enough sleep.
So what is this bill that's proposing to make the patients unable to work?
This is HB, House Bill 2497, and this is from Mike Schaffler. And Mr. Schaffler, Representative Schaffler, is out in the Clackamas County area.
Okay.
And we need people to get in touch with him. All of these contacts are available on our website at ornorml.org. If you scroll down our menu, I believe Mr. Schaffler is right up there on top, so you can contact him that way. And once you click that, you can find out what his phone number is and give him a call.
Okay, so what is Oregon Normal doing in response to this need for, or this call, I should say? There doesn't seem to be a need, but this call for safer workplaces. Is there any counter legislation?
Well, right now we have some counter legislation that's come from our champion, Representative Peter Buckley, and that's House Bill 2503. And this is almost like, what it does is it prohibits discrimination in employment under certain circumstances if they're saying that the reason that you cannot be employed is because you're a medical marijuana cardholder, that is not acceptable. You know, as long as you're not using marijuana on work property. And also, you can discipline employees. All of that is acceptable, but no one, as we said, should be medicating at their job. That just doesn't make any sense at all.
Now, these bills are coming out of the House side in Oregon. Is there anything in the Senate side to match it?
Well, yes. The Republicans have come up with one that is just mirrors Representative Schaffler's 2497 and that Senate bill 426. And that's Senator Girod.
Okay.
As well as another, which is very similar. But this one's even more odious. It's almost like Senate Bill 426, plus defines presence of metabolites that we were just discussing as proof of impairment, which is absolutely ridiculous. It restricts the ability to sue an employer over false positive drug tests and requires employer notification if you plan to get a medical marijuana card. Now, to me, that's a clear invasion of my privacy and could possibly be a violation of HIPAA.
I would think so. That's got to be some sort of medical privacy violation. You don't have to ask your boss's permission for any other medicine that he might prescribe or recommend to you. And again, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act says marijuana should be treated like other medicines.
And that's our big problem. It isn't treated like other medicines. As I said at the beginning, we're treated like criminals rather than disabled patients. Each of us who qualifies for a card must have a disabling condition. And, you know, it's hard enough to live your life with the stress of being disabled, but you put all these other obstacles in your way when you're only trying to go out and be a productive member of society.
The other thing you'd mentioned in that Bill 427, that Senate bill, where they were going to define the presence of metabolites as a per se definition of impairment, that's completely scientifically untrue. I can't imagine that something could get by like that.
Well, I know, and it's very frightening, but luckily, you know, one of the things that we can say to people is get involved today. I hear this complaint. I'm sure you do too, Russ. It's, you know, government is messed up. Well, we're government. And the minute we stop, we take our eye off the ball or the prize and go somewhere else and just think these people are going to go down there and do right by us. We must keep our eye on them. We must contact them, send a fax, send a letter. Please, it's only 42 cents to get your voice heard out there. We can change things. We've done it before. We also have a huge problem with the Governor's Council, who's also coming out with the domino effect. So, you know, it's an all-around battle. The Dan Harmon people with Hoffman Construction Company, you know, we're just seem to be fending them off from all ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got our hands full at our next cardholder meeting. We'll be sending postcards to these representatives, to everyone's own representative, which is what everyone should do. They should get in touch with their representatives and say, please do not support House Bill 2497 because it's discrimination, and Senate Bill 426 and 427.
Yeah.
And you should ask them to support House Bill 2503 because that's the good one that protects us, prohibits discrimination. And it's a shame to see our own legislators put into law discrimination.
Yeah, and it's a shame, especially, like you said earlier, when they're trying to, you know, bring forth a poor solution to a non-existent problem. Like you said, they can't point to any medical marijuana users being resulting in workplace accidents from their on-site job use. They can't point to any statistics that show that injuries or fatalities have gone up. In fact, they've gone down.
Exactly. This is a solution in search of a problem. They go around looking for problems that do not exist. And one of the things that I think is really important is to know that the ACLU, our good friends at the American Civil Liberties Union, are on our side, and they've already put some documents out that they're going to be there to, you know, do briefs on our side and testify on our behalf. We're hoping that we can get the SEIU, the AFL-CIO, and some of the other unions on our side, because this is total discrimination. It's so hard right now. There are so many people that are unemployed, and this is only going to cause more economic disaster in our state. And unfortunately, when these families are doing without food or losing their homes right now. People are losing their homes, and this is going to cause more of a problem. It's unfair, and it's unfounded. As you said, marijuana should be treated like any other medicine.
It's time to end the discrimination. To learn more about it, log on to ornorml.org. There'll be plenty of contact information and hyperlinks to get more information about the bills available there. And again, Madeline Martinez is a member of the Normal Board of Directors and the Executive Director of Oregon Normal, joining us from Portland, Oregon. Thanks a lot, Madeline.
Thanks, Russ.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. All right, we have an exciting new weekly music schedule of Daily Toker Tunes from the Marijuana Music Awards lined up for you stashers. Mondays will be Music with a Message. It's Variety Day on Tuesdays. We'll hear great reggae music on Wednesdays. Thursdays are for rockin', and of course, it's a wrap on Fridays. So, starting today, Monday's Music with a Message features songs from all genres with a strong marijuana message spoken in every style. Let a Thug Smoke is the strong message from the dynamic group The Individuals, fantastic gangster rappers straight from Chicago. The Individuals are Ando the Don, Big Lou, Raw Business, and TCO. The name of the group reflects the individuality the artists represent with their unique styles and original flows. Originality is the key to the great music the Individuals produce with their BU attitude. All-time record holders of Marijuana Music Awards wins, the Individuals from 2005 to 2008 have collected 11 Global and American Marijuana Music Awards trophies. The group have been a rolling stone in gaining success and popularity, with today's song, Let a Thug Smoke, being used in the Weeds TV series. The Individuals' relationship with the popular TV show grew, and they recorded the TV show's theme song, Little Boxes, for the third season of Weeds. The Individuals continue to impress by recently making the High Times Pop 40 and they're currently nominees in the 2009 High Times Doobie Awards. Audiences are in for a real treat when the Individuals take center stage with their top-notch performance. If you love great music, do your ears a favor and listen to the dynamic group at myspace.com/theindividuals420. Available at CD Baby are the albums Something to Smoke To and the follow-up Something to Smoke To. Two. Don't forget to visit our blog at stash.normal.org for more links and to vote for your 2009 Marijuana Music Awards favorites. Here's Monday's Music with a Message, Let a Thug Smoke by the individuals.
Business and let a thug smoke.
I don't wanna have to bust your motherfucking head. Blah. I don't wanna have to stand on the corner in the bushes and beam with the infrared. I don't wanna have to duck the feds. I don't wanna have to duck when I'm getting bread. I don't wanna have to fill your whole ass up with shit.
I don't wanna have to see no popos. Motherfuckers always knocking at my door. When I got a half a 4-4 and a dope. Now I gotta go ahead and go smoke. Cause my mind is gone in the zone. Niggas see me coming, I'm ready through the home with the dirty cone. The motherfucker gotta let me smoke. Cause if I don't, gonna think my high just might blow.
Let a thug smoke. Let a thug smoke. Let a thug smoke, let a thug smoke, let a thug smoke, let a thug smoke, let a thug smoke.
This thug nigga draped in that black and gold, trying to blow something,
blow something.
I'll pop a cap off a gal, I choke something,
choke something.
Roll the bud up and smoke something. My nigga, he got all kinds of weed, therefore I'm blowing all kinds of trees.
Hollin' at
all dimes and D's, survivors like Beyonce. Tell him my idol was Tupac like fiancés. I'm married to this music, that's why I spit the truth
like illusions.
My visions be mellow, see yellow, the yellow fella flicking, trying to get this fucking album off.
Stop slipping,
sleeping on us, individuals. Meanwhile,
smoking and getting residual.
Let a thug smoke, 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 let a thug smoke.
A nigga need to roll some weed instead of having beef. Cause my people out here on the street, well you know they should be running the street, stunting for the hoes that be wearing capri. I done had many thugs that done lost the light. All my little thugs come get built tonight. Cause a nigga like me just gotta be high, penetrate through the wind when I'm riding by. And you know this weed gon' ease my pain. Cause a nigga out here in the dirty game, most niggas don't know what they're fighting for. 50-50 it's a whole war pile of dough. And a nigga like me gon' smoke some joe. Y'all niggas know how that shit go.
Let a thug smoke.
A nigga be quick to try to push your button. You ain't even peeping sweet and so sudden. I'm tired of tough, I'm tired of buttons, tired of struggling, tired of all this gangbang shit that kill me, cause y'all niggas ain't feeling me. Y'all niggas be killing me with the bullshit that had me back blowing beans. Y'all niggas better go before you get your wings big. Dumb bitch, hit the weed and pass it. And
let a thug smoke. 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 Let a thug smoke.
Pants dragging, I'm sagging, I ain't giving no fuck.
Yeah, I'm a thug.
God admit it. Running off with the mouth, not only talking but living. I'ma get this shit in order, salt they can spill it. And while they sprinkling, I'ma creep from the
blind side.
You think shit sweet?
That's what you get for thinking.
Hopelessly sinking, smoking and drinking, choking this sentence. Potency chemist, I'm cold with it.
Got you blow.
Listening close, like
what did that nigga say?
Got a style similar to Trigger Play.
I get the bus
and you fucked up off any discussion I'm speaking. You get to tweaking and twitching, switching positions. This nigga
is something else,
like other dimensions. I'm all in this space, got you lost and you caught in my trap. The effect from a
blood to the face. Let a thug smoke. 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 Let a thug smoke.
I'm on the block just trying to have paper for bail. Slang these rocks and pills, trying to stack mail. Fuck the bullshit, I got the full clip of dum-dums. Any nigga run up, set trip, they get some. Lurk limbo, pop pistols, it's real simple. Fuck a demo, do this shit and rack a rental. 160, get swole like Bill Bixby. Slap box with niggas so my niggas
get with me. Fuck that.
Niggas fuck blacks and whites, don't get no fuck, just react so tight. Hit that Chevy Rumble. When they sit on them doves, I slap the shit out of bitches. When I'm drinking in clubs,
let a thug smoke. 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 Let a thug smoke.
Yo, but put up my gun there, you that sound. On the ground, your body got phone. Blood, blunt, tweet, I got them gone. Hold up, pint, I crush them bones. This may young, my gun, them phones. In a young one, I blood them tone. Fast, they pick up these rounds. Yo, big gun, bust up in a your head. Fast, if I'm not disordered. Blood, blunt, from A to Z. Now, got me stuck infrared. This may young, my crew got fled. Paint a corner in a different. Fast, they pick up these rounds.
Killer shit, nigga.
Yeah, nigga. That's how it is. It's over with.
Yo.
it's to individuals.
Yeah.
And we just want y'all to know that weed helps, you know what I'm saying? So I just want y'all to stop messing with the people who need it to live. It's helping people out there with cancer, AIDS, you know what I'm saying? So y'all gotta let it be, man. Legalize this.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America. And it's all because of your support. Take some time to join NORML at www.norml.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join NORML today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
We tune in now to an interview with Richard Green from the Clout Show on Air America Radio, featuring our own Paul Armentano.
Paul Armentano is the deputy director of NORML and the NORML Foundation, a national organization for the reform of marijuana laws. And damn it, it is time. It is time to reform these laws and to get away from the reefer madness that has not only hurt us from on a social level and a spiritual level because of the hypocrisy that it sows in our society, but doesn't allow people to heal themselves with the medicinal uses of this herb, and certainly doesn't allow us to use it industrially as we should, which is for food, phenomenal food, for clothing, for paper, for biomass. Paul, thank you so much for joining us tonight here on Air America.
It's great to be here, and you know, I couldn't have said any of that any better.
Well, I want to say something. You know, I'm focused on Michael Phelps and the whole marijuana thing, not because I'm a pothead. I'll be really clear. I inhaled. Yes, that was the point of it. I smoked a fair amount. I was a weekend pot smoker. I wasn't one of those guys that, you know, some of my roommates were. You know, they woke up at 9 o'clock and they took a toke. I didn't do that. I smoked, you know, Friday night, Saturday night, maybe, you know, on Sunday, but that was it. And I don't smoke now. I smoke maybe once a year, maybe twice in a big year. So it's not a big thing. I think there are reasons not to. I don't drink a lot either. So it's not about that. It's about, God damn it. It's about freedom and hypocrisy. So, Paul, you wrote an article on Alternet. Tell us about that. What's your point here?
Well, you know, this whole brouhaha about Michael Phelps, actually, this is a really big story, but it's not a big story for the reasons people might think. This is a big story because Michael Phelps represents the inconvenient truth. You can be successful, you can be productive, you can excel at your given field, and you can use marijuana. The entire premise of marijuana prohibition is based on this notion that there is only a certain untoward and unproductive segment of society that uses marijuana. And the idea that the most decorated athlete in history, in fact, is a marijuana consumer threatens the entire premise of prohibition. I mean, if Michael Phelps succeeds and smokes marijuana, what's to say that, in fact, your boss might not be smoking marijuana? What's to say your neighbor doesn't smoke marijuana or your city council member smokes marijuana? Literally, Michael Phelps represents the reality that America is made up of tens of millions of highly productive and successful people that choose to use marijuana in the same manner most Americans choose to drink alcohol. And the laws need to reflect that reality, not maintain this false stereotype that, in fact, marijuana smokers are lazy, they're unproductive, and that they don't contribute to society, when in fact, We live in a society where the President of the United States has used marijuana, where the greatest athlete of all time has used marijuana, and most likely your neighbor, your family member, your kids, and your parents have used marijuana.
Now, the clip that we played last night, actually, he not only admits, our president, Barack Obama, admits, you know, that that was the point of, you know, to inhale, but that he did it frequently. He volunteered the word frequently. What is the difference? And I think all of these points are really right on, Paul. We're talking to Paul Armentano, who is the deputy director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. What NORML.org, right? NORML.org. If people want to go and check out what's going on, it is my point of view that pot smoking is actually safer from a societal standpoint than alcohol. What's your view on that?
Well, it's funny you ask. I'm actually co-authoring a book right now, and the working title of that book is Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving America to Drink? And it expands upon that very premise. By any scientific and objective standard, the use of marijuana, both to the user and to society at large, is far less detrimental than the use of alcohol.
How? Tell us how.
Oh, in so many different ways. Alcohol, quite literally, is an intoxicant. Intoxication, the word intoxicant, comes from the Latin toxicum, which means a poison. When a person is drinking alcohol, they're actually putting a poison into their body, and it has toxic effects upon the body.
Well, certainly the liver, right.
When a person uses marijuana, the unique active constituents of marijuana, known as cannabinoids, mimic chemicals that the body produces naturally that maintain good health. The endocannabinoid system actually regulates people's, it regulates their mood, it regulates their appetite, it's involved in maintaining bone mass, it's involved in reproduction. This is one of the most vital regulatory systems people have. And when they're using marijuana, they're actually supplementing chemicals that the body already produces rather than putting in
there
a foreign toxin their body.
Paul Armentano, you're giving people a motivation more than they already had before this interview to go out and get stoned. Do that as you wish, and if you're in South Carolina, watch out for that sheriff who's after Michael Phelps. This is Richard Green. This is Hollywood Clout. This is Air America. Stay tuned.
Thank you for downloading the NORML Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.norml.org. For everyone here at NORML, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We'll leave you today with some reminders about upcoming events on the Activists Agenda. Check them out at stash.norml.org/activists-agenda. Tomorrow, Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific time, is a hearing on Washington's Senate Bill 5615, the bill to decriminalize up to 40 grams of marijuana with only a $100 civil fine. And then on Friday, February 13th, there's a lobby day in Vermont for decriminalization of marijuana. Again, check the details at the Activist Agenda at stash.normal.org. And if you want to get your event listed in the Daily Audio Stash Activist Agenda and mentioned every Monday on the Audio Stash podcast, send an email to stash@normal.org with agenda request as the subject line. For everyone here at Normal, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for making the Normal Daily Audio Stash the most popular news and information podcast for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.